Please rise for prayer. Omniscient, omnipotent, eternal Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask for your wisdom as we come to humbly listen unto what you have chosen to reveal unto us in thy holy word. This world seeks to so often distort or pervert your word of life and truth, and especially in the area of real and true love. You created man and woman to be in the inseparable marital union till death do us part, which is so often sadly rejected today. Keep our marriages strong and focused upon you and the great love you showed upon the cross. You went beyond momentary feelings in your self-sacrifice for the benefit of others. May this same love be found in our families, with our spouses, and with our children, today and always, as we look to you, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in your name, Jesus, that we do pray. Amen. For our meditation here this day, we especially listen to these words from Mark chapter 10. At the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. If we happen to take a look at one of the most popular entertainers today, someone that seems to be quite popular with the media and who gets quite a bit of attention, not just from her number one hit songs, but also co-starring in her second place movie for the second week in a row, we could easily think of Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta. You may not know her by her given birth name, but you have probably heard of her by her stage name, Lady Gaga. She's known for some very outlandish outfits and using some extravagant theatrical effects along with her techno sound. On her website, she says that she wants to trick people into hanging with something that's really cool in her eye. What is that? All you have to do is listen to a few of her interviews or just take a look at the video for her song Love Game, which I am most certainly not recommending. On it, there are various people in stages of undress while she's going about simulating sexual relations with numerous partners, male as well as female. I know that this kind of behavior is very attractive to many within our present American society. Not only do we see and hear it on television shows, on the radio, and in movies, but even churches have gotten into the practice of promoting the sin of homosexuality or not speaking up against the sin of sex with multiple partners. What does God say about this? How did he first create it to be? If we want to see and hear how this gift of sexuality was really meant to be used and enjoyed, then we need to listen to the words of the Creator to see how he first created things, as well as for what was his motivation behind creating everything. In the beginning, God had created the man, Ha'adam, there in the Hebrew, as the pinnacle, the top of all creation. Everything was made for man, and he was to care for it. Yet it was not good for man to be alone. Before God had created Eve, things were incomplete. When all the pairs of the animals were brought before the man to give him his name, it was evident that Adam did not have his helpmeet. The Bible does not say that there was no one there for Adam to belittle or to argue with or to command. God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." God's perfect master plan was to create woman. He did not choose to make another man, someone who would be similar to man in almost every respect. No, God chose to make someone who would be very different than the man was, in many unique and different ways, inside and outside, yet someone who would complete him. They were made unique and special in a way that would greatly benefit the other person. They would find pleasure in serving one another in the lifelong union of marriage as God brought the two of them together in that very first wedding service there in the beautiful garden. It was not good that man should be alone without someone that he could communicate with, someone that he could love and cherish and provide for, someone who would be beautifully complementary to him in every way, his companion for life. Some Bibles translate this section as make him a helper suitable for him. But when you actually look at the wording there in the Hebrew, you see the literal translation of this woman and her work is which should be about him. She was created by God to see and find her identity as wife and woman in the person of her husband. Dr. Luther describes this section of God's word by saying, the woman was created that she should everywhere and always be about her husband, end quote. We see that the life this husband and his wife were going to enjoy, and which they were created and intended to enjoy, would be totally different than it had been when Adam was all alone. It was going to be a loving, inseparable union and relationship in and with each other. How sadly different things oftentimes are today when we see some married couples' lives are together only in a legal sense. So little time is spent together, and instead they try to make sure that they stand out alone, making a name for themselves with their own items and cars and toys and money accounts and even their own names, rather than losing themselves in one another as Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, who are seen as one united, strong unit. There are fewer and fewer people who are seeking to get married as God talks about it, and an ever-increasing movement away from being united together in marriage and all. Back in the garden, we get a small sense of the great joy that Adam experienced when God created the first woman and brought her to the man, and they were united in that first blessed marriage in paradise. He didn't say, oh, I wanted another man. No! The scripture tells us, and Adam said, aha, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed, end quote. What a beautiful picture there in the garden, as we have pictured on the front of our bulletins here this morning. As they came together in the lifelong union of love and happiness, they enjoyed one another's company as they together experienced the joys and the wonders of all that God had so lovingly provided them for there. In the beginning, man and woman, husband and wife, were both naked and they felt no shame, it says. There was no indecency between them. When the first husband and wife looked upon one another, since they had been united by God, there were no thoughts about abusing one another or rejecting one another or self-seeking perversions. There was only true love. There was patience and kindness, not envying or boasting or pride or rudeness or self-seeking ambitions or quick anger. There was no record of wrongs, no delighting in evil, but there was a rejoicing with the truth. They always protected one another, always trusted in each other, always put their hope in one another, always persevered with each other, and never ever put an end or failure to their love. There was no talk there about signing a prenuptial agreement just in case things didn't work out or in case something better came along. They each wanted to do everything for the other that they could, to please their partner in every possible way, 100%. They had nothing to hide. They were totally open, honest, and self-sacrificing in all that they were going to do together. And that's the way that God had created it. The thing that changed their relationship and shattered their self-sacrificing love was when they chose not to listen to the Word of God. They lost sight of loving the other person because they became self-absorbed in their thinking about themselves, that there was something they were missing away from God's word and their spouse. And that temptation is put before many couples still today. There are so many temptations that are at our fingertips. So many messages and images that seek to get us to look to what we do not have. Adam and Eve listened. And the devil tempted Eve, and therefore Adam, who was there, the Bible says, to think that some knowledge was being withheld from them. But the knowledge they didn't have, that God had kept from them, was evil. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they made this choice to not listen to God alone, and instead to give in to some outside and inside temptations, we know what happened. First Eve and then Adam let their own internal self-seeking desires win out over true self-sacrificing love. They let the desire of their eyes overwhelm the word of God in their life. And all of creation has never been the same since. Immediately, their total self-sacrificing love for each other was changed forever. They were ashamed of themselves. They each tried to cover themselves. When God came to them again, there was discord between them that had never been there before. And they blamed each other, and they tried to make themselves look better before the Lord by ripping on each other and even trying to blame God for their own rebellion. How sad. God had given them all, everything around them, and even each other. That is where mankind would have been lost. Naked, alone, helpless, and hopeless if God didn't do something. And so do something is what he did. Yes, there was going to have to be a penalty for their transgression. There was going to have to be a death to pay for this sin, even as he promised there would have to be. But God again here showed just how great his love truly is. He came unto them and promised that there would be one who would come to restore them. There would be one who could remove sin and its horrible impact upon their relationship. And true to that promise of God, he did come. Jesus came to take that sin that Adam and Eve had committed, as well as all the many sins that they would commit over their lifetimes, as well as the many sins that we have also committed. Yes, Adam and Eve gave in to their own desires as they did what they were not supposed to do. But so have we. We have also rebelled against God and let out many of those horrible sins to run free in our hearts and our minds. We have also committed sins with the words that we have said and the kind and loving words that we have left unsaid. We have committed sins with our hands and our hearts and our minds and our bodies, with sins of lust and desire and coveting and stealing and jealousy and even hatred towards our neighbor. And the true actions of love and self-sacrifice that we have left undone with these same hands of ours. Yes, we have gone gaga over our own cravings and desires, and let them have control of us at times. The wages of sin is death, and that is the burden that we each have earned through our less than perfect actions in our own love game. God should have walked away from us on account of our own sins, just as he could have done after Adam and Eve had sinned. But God came unto them, and he offered them as well as us a way out. Instead of Adam and Eve, as well as you and I, having to bear the punishment of our sins in their nakedness in the garden, he, God, was going to. Jesus would have his clothes stripped off and his back bared before the whip and the jagged wooden cross to bear what Adam and Eve, as well as you and I, have deserved. Jesus would suffer for each and every sin. Even though we have not always been faithful, he would be. Jesus did not call it quits when things got tough and walk away divorcing himself from us. No, God showed us what true love is all about. It remains true and faithful even when things aren't happy and aren't enjoyable. He stayed there true to his promise. And when Jesus had completed it all, he declared, "It is finished." By his stripes that Jesus took on our account, we are healed. Through Jesus' completed work on our behalf, all who believe upon him and his bloody sacrifice upon the cross for you and your sins are given complete and total forgiveness. That's what is now offered unto each and every couple who looks to him in faith. We no longer have to carry any past mistake or sins into the present or into the future. They are forgiven, removed before God, so we can now be free of them. With the forgiveness that Jesus offers, we can now, as husband and wife, look upon one another in the same way we did upon our wedding day, with such joy and hope and optimism and happiness for the future. There was once a little girl who was attending a wedding for the very first time. And she whispered over to her mother, "Why is the bride wearing white?" Her mother said, "Because white is the color of purity, and especially happiness, because today is the happiest day of her life." The little girl thought about this for a little minute, and then she leaned over and asked, "Then why is the groom wearing black?" True love is evident on the happy days, as well as those that are a bit more difficult. God's design was for real and lasting love, and true love remains faithful even over the many, many years. In December of 2013, Sergeant First Class Joseph Gant, who fought in both World War II and the Korean War, was laid to rest in California. He had been captured in Korea in 1950 and died the very next year. But his body had not been returned for many years, and his death had never been fully confirmed by the North Koreans. His wife, Clara, waited for decades for her husband to come back. She regularly went to meetings with government officials seeking information about what had really happened. Clara even bought a house and had it professionally landscaped, so all Joseph would have to do when he finally came home was go fishing. She was 94 years old when his remains were finally brought home for a military funeral with full honors. It wasn't the homecoming that she dreamed of, but she finally knew his fate. Clara told a reporter who interviewed her, "I'm still his wife, and I'm going to remain his wife until the day the Lord calls me home." Love, true, faithful, unending love, as God intended, is not just some temporary feeling that comes and goes. Godly love is a commitment that is meant to last over the years. Love is not based on everything going right or always being happy. Love is not just an emotional feeling, but rather a choice of the will. We choose to love even as our Lord God chose to love Adam and Eve after they had sinned. And how Jesus Christ chose to love us and sacrifice himself for us in spite of all of our many sins. Through his loving sacrifice, we are forgiven. And so we seek to love others as God loves us, with an unfailing love that never ends. Even though the world may go gaga and chase after many momentary and temporary pleasures, we seek something that will truly last. And one of those good gifts of God that he designed and sought to last over the long haul is marriage. With our eyes upon the cross of Christ, we hear those wonderful words even as we've heard at many beautiful weddings. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." May that true and real Christ-like love be and abide with you, as we hear from Romans 15. Now may the God who gives patience and encouragement grant you to be like-minded with one another according to Christ Jesus, that together you may with one mind and one voice glorify God. Amen.